Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to talk about tonight about just two words. But it'll take me longer than that to preach this. But I want to talk about don't quit. Now, you know, my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay, he's big on telling you, thank God you didn't quit. And I have one of his study Bibles here, and he wrote a little note to me. He said, "You're an excellent man of God. I'm proud to stand with you. Never quit, Doc Barclay." And so I want to talk to you about not quitting. Not quitting on your faith, not quitting, you know, believing God, not quitting, you know, standing for, you know, the promise to come to pass in your life, or whatever, however area you, whatever area you might need to apply it in tonight. So, I don't know about you, but the Lord's helped me not to be a quitter. You know, before I gave my life to Jesus, if it got hard, I thought, I don't need this. You know, I'm going to do something else. But, you know, since I've met the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't do that any longer. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, we talked about this. You know, we've talked about this before. Have you ever wanted to quit? Well, I've never really wanted to quit the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But maybe things I was doing for Him, yeah, I've wanted to quit. Amen. Hello. Amen. You know, have you ever wanted to quit believing for certain things? Yeah, of course I've wanted to quit. But you can't quit. Amen. It's like Jesus said to His disciples. He said, "Do you want to go also?" And Peter said, "Where would we go? You got the words of eternal life." So, no, we're not quitting. Everybody say, "I'm not quitting."
I'm not quitting.
So I wanted to talk to you about that tonight, about not quitting, because a lot of people quit. A lot of people give up. A lot of people give up when things get going tough, when things get going rough, and they will at times. Amen.
Amen.
And so we'll just talk about this tonight. Are you ready? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. If you're not already there, go ahead and find that. And verse 57, Paul said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, because He gives us the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Well, he said, God always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't quit. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you know, sometimes, and we'll talk about some of these things here in just a little bit, because we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. And just kind of just show this to you out of the Word. And there's, you know, sometimes when you preach on subjects like this or other subjects, there's just so many Bible passages about it that you're like, I can't talk about all these tonight because we'll be here a long time. I mean, it's like a series, you know. So you have to kind of pull some things out and decide what we're going to talk about. So I just pulled some scriptures out, okay? I could have went to different ones, but I just pulled some out tonight just to talk about what the Bible has to say about not quitting. It has a lot to say about not quitting. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit?
Amen.
He had pressure. You know, the Bible said in the Garden of Gethsemane, His soul was exceedingly sorrow, even unto death. And He said, "Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me." But I'm glad He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Because he said, he was simply saying, "I'd like to change this and do, you know, not go through with this, but I'm going to do what you want done."
Yeah.
Thank God He didn't quit. He went all the way. Amen. And sometimes I was with the pastor Sunday night, Pastor Bob Gregory from here in town. Was celebrating his 30, he didn't know they were doing it, it was a surprise to him, but he was celebrating his 30th year in the ministry, you know, and so they had sent Phyllis and I something, wanting to know if we would be able to come. Of course we did. And but you know, the thing that I think about, anybody that's been in the ministry for 30 years and been faithful and walked with integrity, they didn't quit.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you've heard it told before, others have told the story. My pastor talks about Dr. Barclay, how one time, you know, a young preacher went up to Dr. Summerall and ask him, what's the secret to your success? I mean, you know, he shook so many nations with the word and did so many things for God. And this young preacher asked him, said, what's your success? What's the secret to your success, Dr. Summerall? And Dr. Summerall just bellowed out, I didn't quit. I just kept going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just kept at it. Amen. I didn't quit. You ever, when you're ever young, you ever have that one kid that just wouldn't quit? I had a kid I had to fight almost, it seemed like almost every day. He just wouldn't quit. And it seemed like every day after school, he and I would get in a fight. And we'd sometimes be laying outside, you know, the bus, how the bus would wait on you at the elementary school. This was elementary days. This is how young I was. And we'd be out there in the grass outside the bus fighting. The bus driver just sitting there watching us, you know. And finally, you know, hey, it happens every day. They'll be all right. Finally, I ended it. You know, I knocked two of his teeth out. And he'd had enough. But it took a long time. I've got to give him his credit. He didn't quit. Amen. He stuck with it. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let me read a scripture here, Mark chapter 10. Like I said, I'm going to look at some scripture tonight. And we're going to just, you know, kind of just exhort rather than teach or preach tonight. But exhort you. What is it you're believing for? Don't quit on it. Don't quit. Amen. John chapter 10. You know, if it's scriptural, don't quit on it. John chapter 10, verse 27. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Got it? Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. Now, it kind of stands out to me when I, because I've underlined it this way in my Bible. I've got underlined, with men, impossible. With men, impossible. With God, possible. That just speaks to me. With men, impossible. But with God, possible. How I like that. Now, I read that scripture because here's what I found out. See, when you feel like quitting, When you feel like quitting, all you're feeling is the impossibility of man. You gotta resist that and let the possibility of God take over your thinking. Because there's a lot of things that God calls us to do or things in our life that may seem impossible. And if you meditate on impossible and your ability or lack thereof, You're gonna quit. But when you look to his ability, amen, you just stick with it. Hallelujah. Amen. And you may wonder why we do this. Some people may not like it. I don't know, but doesn't matter. I know what works. But, you know, I remember when we first began our church, you know, when you first start, you don't have much of anything. You know, you don't have much of finances or anything. You're just, you know, you've got one nostril above water. And that's about it. And I remember what the Lord told me, what he said to me. He said, when you get up to receive the offering, talk about what my word says about money. Talk about that. Now, in other words, he was just telling me, put some faith into the people about finances. And so I just started doing that. And I watched through the years, as I was faithful to that, just to do that, income started going up. But you had to just stick with it. You know, sometimes we want to see results overnight. And sometimes results come overnight. But sometimes they don't. And that's when you got to stick with it. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just focus on the impossibility that, you know, I know what I'm capable of doing. Without God, nothing. With man, impossible. But with God, it's possible. So if we focus on just the, you know, our ability or our lack thereof, then we're going to end up quitting. But when we focus on his ability and what he can get done, we'll stay with it. Amen. Now, I know we're looking at a lot of scripture. I'm not going long tonight. I can just tell I don't have a whole lot to share with you, but I do want to look at about three more scriptures, and let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And that's not to say that I might not hit a stream here and take off. All right. Joshua chapter 1. Go there. God's speaking to Joshua as he's getting ready to take, as he has taken over for Moses. You know, Moses was led Israel out of the promised land. But now it's time to get, he led him out of Egypt, excuse me. And now it's time to get him into the promised land. And here's Joshua where he comes in. And God said to him, in Joshua 1, verse 9, he said, "Have not I commanded thee?" And notice, this is a command. This isn't a suggestion. How many of God doesn't have suggestions? What he says is a command, right? "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go." Now, he told him, he said, don't be afraid. And then he said, don't be dismayed. Now, we know what afraid is. What about dismayed? What does dismayed mean? Well, it's interesting when you look up the word dismayed to find out what it means. It means this. It means to break down by violence or confusion. But here's what I like. It means to beat down by circumstances. In other words, God told Joshua, don't allow circumstances to beat you down. Just stay with it. Now, the devil is good about bringing circumstances to try to beat you down. And he'll hammer. I'm not giving him credit, but he will do it, right? He'll hammer and he'll hammer and he'll hammer. What's he trying? Trying to break you down. Trying to get you to quit. Because one thing he knows, that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be steadfast, immovable, unmovable, sticking with it. Don't quit. Hallelujah. Just stay with our faith. Amen. Amen. I told you this is not really teaching, preaching. It's just exhorting tonight. But see, the Bible says that, it tells us in Hebrews that those that have believed do enter into rest. I mean, the devil fights that. He doesn't want you to have any rest. He always wants to keep you stirred up. But with faith is a rest. You can just, you know, you can just go to sleep. Remember Jesus in that boat that was going down? He was asleep. I don't know how you stay asleep when your disciples are all frantic. I mean, he's a good sleeper, amen. But you know, to be a good sleeper sometimes like that, to going through that, you'd have to be in faith. Amen. He said we're going to the other side. How many know we're going to the other side? Right? If he said that, you're not going to see the Jerusalem News in the morning say Son of God drowned in a boating accident. Right? Because he said go to the other side, right? So if God has said it, how many know that is enough? That's enough to cause us to be able to lay back and rest on him. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, we use that word stayed and we just think about the Lord constantly, and that's a good way to look at that. But there's another way to look at that word stayed, because that's an old King James word. It comes out of Old English, the way they're using it there. And that the way they're using their stayed means to lean back on. To lean back on. In other words, you trust something solid is going to be there when you lean back. Amen. You know, if you lean back on one of these walls, I don't think you're probably too concerned it's going to fall down. But you weren't here when we put them up. You just got faith. Right? Trust me. They're anchored in really good. Amen. Not all these walls. Some of the walls are already here, but there are some in this building we put up, okay? And you know what? They're still standing. Hallelujah. And they're going to stand. Well, one of them's getting knocked out. The one in the nursery is getting knocked out, okay? Just a matter of time. Amen. Because all these babies we have and that are coming, we're losing the hallway. All right, praise God. But you know what? You see what I'm talking about? See, when you're leaning back, you know, you're leaning back. Now, you go to lean back on something that's not, you know, you're not sure about, and, you know, you don't trust that. You lean back on something solid, you know, a block wall or something. You know, hey, that's good. See, that's what God is saying. If you lean back on Him, you trust Him, you lean back on Him, He'll keep you in perfect peace. And that really just means double peace. Actually, the Hebrew says, where the King James says perfect peace, the Hebrew says shalom, shalom. And to me, what I see out of that is God said, I'll keep you in peace spiritually and I'll keep you in peace naturally. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know, you can be you could have peace spiritually, but how many know God wants things settled in the natural for you? You know, and maybe some people have security and peace in the natural, but if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't really have peace. You need both, right? So God said, I'll give you both if you lean back on me. See, the faith is a rest. It's like we just lay back on God and you know, we let Him take care of us. Amen. Think about it, right? And so He's telling Joshua, He said, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't be beat down by circumstances. Don't let circumstances beat you down. Well, see, the devil will call circumstances, try to just beat you down, just wear you down, get you to give up, get you to quit. Amen. We've all heard that voice. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just turn loose of it? It's not going to come to pass. But have you know, that's when you got to go back to the Scriptures, like we just read to start out with. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. He always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you got to go back to those Scriptures and say, wait a minute, devil. It says He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as I stay hooked up to Him, stay hooked up to His Word, victory is going to be mine. Praise God. Amen. You know, sometimes things take a while. I don't know why, but sometimes they do. You just got to stay with it. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I know we're looking at several scriptures tonight, but I want to look at this one and another one at least. Hebrews chapter 12, and just show some things to you tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't the word good? Amen. You know, thank God for His word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us. And notice this, let us run with the patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I'll stop reading there. We're going to read a couple more verses, but I'll stop right there just for a moment. How many know if He says we're to run with endurance, what's that tell us? That tells us this race is going to last a while. So you don't run a 100-yard dash and say, now pace yourself. How many know it's all out, right? But if you're going to run a marathon or something like that, then you're going to have to pace yourself because you're going to need some gas through the middle and through the end, right? So you're going to pace yourself. So it shows me that the things of God aren't always a 100-yard dash. So we have to be prepared to run the race with endurance. Just stick with it. You know, when you're training for a race, a long race, you know, you always do like what they call one long run a week. And that's to get your endurance up so that you're ready when race day comes. You've got endurance built up. And really, once you get experienced at it, you learn this. Most of it's just in your mind anyway. You got to get your mind where it'll take control of your body that's saying, stop it, fool. A guy asked me one time, I'll never forget this, he's my neighbor when I lived downtown. He asked me, I was out on the trail, and I think I might have been on the trail, maybe on the trail, and I was running, and he said, hey, he was on his bike, you know, and he asked me, so what's the best thing about running? I said, stopping. Amen. Amen. You know, getting to the finish line, right? Hallelujah. How many know we want to finish, right? So he said, run it with patience. Look, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus was looking beyond the temporary suffering. He was looking at for the joy that was set before Him. See, what was the joy? Well, one thing was us being redeemed. Another thing was he's going to be seated with the Father. So he's looking beyond. In other words, see, here's a revelation. You don't get discouraged really because of your circumstances. You get discouraged because you lose your vision. You lose your vision of what you're believing for. You let the devil, through, like we read in Joshua, through beating you down, you let him snuff out your vision. But as long as you keep your vision, you got strength. Remember the Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, when I was like 26, Phyllis and I, we went out and we bought a Swin Aerodyne. How many know what one of those are? It was like, of the day, it was the elite of the bike that you pedal that doesn't go anywhere. A stationary bike. And so we went out and we bought one. And they were expensive for the day. I mean, they were several hundred dollars. And we bought one. And you know, I was just, you know, I had a vision. I was 158 pounds, and I had a vision of losing weight. Lord, I'd like to recapture that vision. Jesus. I can't imagine being 158 pounds and trying to lose weight. I think, what was you thinking, man? What were you thinking? And so we bought one. And, you know, because in those days, there was a man on the radio named Paul Harvey. I remember him. The rest of the story, you know. And he advertised his Swin Aerodynes, you know. And he said 20 minutes a day, three times a week, and that'll do it for you. So we went to the Swin place and bought one, brought it home, put it on the beside the bed, and that was a good choice. Because after about 5 minutes on it, I was on the bed. Suddenly, my joy had left me. See, I had this great vision of how this thing was going to get me in shape. You know what I'm saying? I had this great vision about I'm going to ride this thing. I'm going to get in shape. You know, I'm going to get back in shape. I don't know what I was trying to get to at 158 pounds, but I guess I was trying to get back down to 134. But that ain't never happening, honey. And so I'm just a realist in that area. I mean, I ain't going back there again. But I was just trying to lose weight, and I had this vision, and I got excited, got so excited, I was willing to turn loose a few hundred dollars to get to accomplish my goal. But once I got into the difficult part, that started knocking my vision out. Are you listening to me? See, I mean, I got on there and found out, you know what, this isn't easy. I mean, if I could get on here and do it one time and I lost 20 pounds, I mean, I'm good with it. But you're talking about, you know, this is hard, you know. And all of a sudden now, see what happens when it gets hard, you can begin to change your vision. Right? And you look in the mirror and say, you know what, 158 ain't bad at all. It looks pretty good on you. I don't know what we're thinking. Hallelujah. Come on, I saw y'all looking at me kind of funny. But listen. Have you ever gone on a diet, you know, and after about a week of it, you think, hey, you know what, I'm okay. I'll buy new clothes. See, what happens? See, the difficulties cause us to lose our vision. When we lose our vision, that's when we quit. It's not really the difficulties because there are people that make it through the difficulties. So the difficulties can't be the factor. It has to be you lose your vision. And when you lose your vision, you don't have any joy. You don't have any strength to continue running for the vision. Come on now. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I mean, you talk about some of the athletes, you know, today, some of those, they really train hard. Some of those elite athletes, but they have to keep the vision before them. I was thinking about, you know, the quarterback that most people in this church doesn't like, Tom Brady. I'm surprised I didn't get booed over that one. Just by mentioning his name in this state. But you know what? He's like 41, and he's just as good as he was when he was like 31. Let me stop and think who won the Super Bowl this year. Let's see, who was that? Was it? Oh, it was Arizona Cardinals, wasn't it? No, wait a minute. It was Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Now, why is he still so good? I'll tell you why he still gets good, because he's still disciplined. He still treats 41. He still does today at 41. Actually, he does more at 41 than he did when he's 31. Like him or not. Listen, just leave my preaching alone. I don't care whether you like him or not. You got to admit the man is doing some things right. Now, what happened? Well, he still keeps his vision. He did that April Fool's joke just yesterday. When was April? It was Monday. And he tweeted out he was retiring. April Fool's. But he says he's going to his 45. You know, I have no doubt he'll make it. You know why? Vision. Well, there went the anointing. I knew that was dangerous, bringing that up at church. But regardless, if we lose our vision, we're in trouble. Because it's not the circumstances, it's not all, it's when we just lose the vision. You know, it's like Israel. You know, they get out of bondage, God brings them out into the wilderness, and they got this vision of going into the promised land, that flows with milk and honey, and they send over spies, and they see the giants, and they see all the obstacles, and all of a sudden they lose their vision. And what happens? They get stuck right there where they were at. Not because, listen, those circumstances didn't stop them. Their lack of vision stopped them. Because God said, I've given you the land. And see, when you lose your vision, God can't even help you. Remember, he said in Exodus, he said, I sent an angel before you to bring you into place, to get you in there. And that angel couldn't even get them in. I mean, he had the ability to, but when they lost their vision, there was no way it was going to happen. Amen. Now notice this. Let's finish reading this out. And verse 3 says, for consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. See, and some translations say discouraged in your souls, but either way is good. But faint, see, it's a mental thing. If you don't keep the vision before you, you faint in your mind, the devil beats you down by circumstances, and you become dismayed. And when you become dismayed, you give up. Well, it's not going to come to pass. Well, wait a minute. Was it of God? Well, if it was of God, he always causes us to triumph. He always gives us the victory. We just got to be steadfast. Just stay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, are you getting something tonight? Just a little exhorting here tonight. That's all. Just a little exhorting. Remember what Paul said? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. How many know to get a medal, you got to finish. Everybody say finish. They don't give medals to starters. You can't just start and the race and then, say, well, I started. I mean, no. They wait till you get to the finish line. When you get to the finish line, then as you come through the finish line, normally this is the way it works, when you come through the finish line, there's usually people there that as you go by, they put a medal on you. That's for finishing it. If you're like 3 miles back in the ditch, you don't get anything but a ride home. You understand? You may have tried hard, bless your heart. You may have worked hard, but before they give those out, you got to finish. Right? See, there's no rewards for those that don't finish. Amen. Amen. See, the Bible says, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's not just faith, but it's patience or endurance or just sticking with it. In Hebrews 10, it talks about don't cast away your confidence because it has a great reward. But you have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Is there another word that, when you think about patience, what does it imply? All right, I'll help you. Waiting, right? If you don't have to wait, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to be patient. And we are a society of fast everything, right? fast food, you know, and all that and everything. You know, I mean, it's very rare that anybody cooks a meal that takes hours. We be at your house, hallelujah. Because that kind of cooking's good cooking. But it's very rare, right? You know, a lady from our church invited us over one night, Phyllis and I, you know, to have, she was a widow, and she asked if we'd come over and have an evening meal with her. And we said, sure. You know, and so we went over there, and I mean, I'm just, you know, she's making stuff, but her fried chicken, I'm telling you, it looked wonderful. And so I go bragging on her chicken, you know. I mean, I want some more. I'm not stupid. So, I'm bragging on her fried chicken. And she says, and after a while, she finally said, well, I got to tell you something. It came from Bueller's. But it was still good, hallelujah. But you know what? We're not geared. It's like I've told you before. I remember when McDonald's had the 30-second clock. Now, they got rid of that because that was a dumb idea. But they did. Now, does anybody besides me remember that? All right. They had a 30-second clock. You put your order in. You don't get it within 30 seconds. You're supposed to get something. I don't know. Your food's free. It's a discount. But Phyllis would watch that 30-second clock.
I repented about that.
I know you repented, but it's still you did it. And if it gets to 32 seconds, you say, say something, say something. I'm like, it's just like 2 seconds off, you know. Yeah, but they said it. You shouldn't say it if you don't. Well, I mean, if you get a burger in 30 seconds, it's going to taste like a 30-second burger, right? I mean, you know. You know what I mean? So, you know, so it's all geared toward fast. It's all geared toward moving on. And some of that I like. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the speed that my electronic stuff works at now, it still bugs me, but sometimes I'll think, wait a minute, I remember when, you know, that little circle just went, you know what I'm talking about, and it'd take a while before your stuff would come up, and we were like, we thought we were in tall cotton, because you know what I'm saying, I mean, here we're into the, I finally got into the computer age, you know what I'm saying, and here we go, you know, but now I look back, and I think, you know, the things that we thought were really good 10 years ago, it's like slow as can be now. Amen. You know, and so we don't understand that sometimes God's not changed. I mean, he doesn't microwave things. He doesn't. You're not going to put in an order and say, now, Lord, I'll be around just a minute, pick it up. Because there are times when there's something that you're going to have to do, and it's called fight the good fight of faith. Or you're going to have to just stick with it. You're going to have patience. You're going to have to not quit. You just can't quit. You know, as a young minister, there's things that God spoke to me when I first getting started out, and I'm thinking, ooh, you know, I mean, any time now. And then now here I am 37 years later, and it's like, it's time. I mean, some things have come to pass, but some things haven't come to pass. Now, I'm convinced they're going to come to pass, but sometimes God will just see, are you going to just stick with it? Are you going to be faithful? A faithful man's going to abound in blessing. You know, not the one that just, well, you know, I tried that. Like a lady told Brother Katz one time, well, I confessed that 3 times and nothing happened. Actually, a woman told Brother Katz this one time. He said it. He said, lady came up to him and said, I tried that 3 times, nothing happened. He said, well, aren't you a trooper? 3 times. I mean, the Bible says hold fast to your confession. Well, why would you have to hold fast to it? Well, it means something's going to jerk it out. Now, I remember the one and only time I ever went water skiing. I looked like Snoopy back there, you know? And they were just saying, the only instructions I got was hold on. Okay. Hold on. And I found out they're able to get you out of the water. But I did find this out. You know, the Bible says hold fast, but I did find out with skiing, there is a time to let go. Like when you fall. But have you know, the Bible says hold fast because something's trying to take it away from you. Jesus said, hold fast that which you have. That means you can't quit. You can't be a quitter. You just got to stick with it. If you're believing for healing, if you're believing for finances, whatever it might be you're believing for, you're believing for salvation of loved ones, you just got to stick with it. Don't let your vision be taken away. Don't let circumstances beat you down. Don't let the devil beat you down and cause you to be dismayed. Just stay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's close out Mark chapter 4. And let's go there and we'll close with this. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4. You know, God, there's something, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, you know. And the Bible says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. See, we have the greater one living inside of us. We ought to be able to stand longer than the devil. Amen. And you know, he'll contest things. But we have the greater one inside of us. Amen. Jesus in his teaching in Mark chapter 4 on the parable of the sower sows the word, he said this in verse 16. He said, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So how many know they had a great start, didn't they? I mean, when they heard the word, they latched on to it. They were glad about it. I don't know how many times as a minister I've seen this with people. And when they hear the word, they latch on to it. They're excited about it. But you know what? Yeah, it's not just how good you start. I said it's not how good you start. Some people start really good, but you got to stick around and finish. You know, I remember years ago when my granddaughters were probably teenagers, I guess, maybe even preteen, maybe 11, and one might have been 11, the other one 13, I don't know, but they wanted to run this race with me, foot race, you know. I'm talking about not just me, but I mean there was a race out there, out St. Wendell or someplace. So they wanted to run that. So I said, okay, you know, you got to train. I mean, you can't just show up. You have to train. So Jordan trained. Alexis just showed up. I would say, are you training? Well, I ran Thursday. I'm like, that's not good enough. I mean, you can't just run one time a week because you've not been running. You can't do that. Well, I'll run tomorrow. And I knew that probably wasn't going to happen. And I remember when we started out, I didn't forget this. People start, because I paced us, you know, and people were passing us. They were going around us. I heard one guy, I thought he was dying, and he passed us. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. He's going, I thought, this guy will fall over dead, and he passes us. I thought, trip him. Don't let somebody like that pass you. Trip him. You know, and then a guy with an oxygen tank goes around us. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But I remember as we're running along, you know, they're kind of freaking out. I said, wait a minute. I said, we will pass them back. Okay. I said, we will pass them back. I said, they've taken off too fast, and about middle way, they're going to sputter out. And sure enough, as we got through the middle part of the race, we started passing all those people by. And I remember, you know, Alexis was just going through all kinds of pain. Oh, my side. I said, do you want to stop? No. I said, well, then let's go. And we pushed her and we pushed her. And she got a medal. She got second place in her category. But what I had enough sense to know is if you can start good, but that doesn't mean you're going to finish good. Amen. It's not about who starts the best. It's who finishes it. See, this is the way to... Well, I mean, oh, Pastor, that was such a good word. I'm believing God. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear you receive the word that way, but I want to know, like, in about a few days, are you still talking that way? Amen. Are you still pumped up? Or it's like, you know what the Bible says. My God, something or another, you know.
That's just about the way it happens, you know. You know, on Tuesday, it's like, my God meets my needs according to his riches and glory. By Friday, it's like, you know, something, I don't know. Amen. Jesus wept. But I want you to notice what it said, verse 17. And have no root in themselves. Now, what does that mean? They don't have any staying power. And so endure but for a time. They're only temporary. Afterward, when affliction or persecution, remember what God told Joshua, be not dismayed. Dismay arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or they stumble. What's Jesus telling us? He's saying the same thing that I'm saying. Some start good, but they don't finish good. They don't finish well. They don't finish at all. It's not a matter of starting. It's a matter of finishing. And you know what? You have the ability to make up your mind, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. You know, things get tough in life sometimes. Even though we believe God, that doesn't exempt us from having tough times. That's what faith is for. Faith is the victory that overcomes. That's just opportunity for us to use our faith, believe God. Amen. You know, sometimes people in their marriage, things get tough. But you can't be a quitter. You listening to me? See, a lot of times we, because, you know, things are so, we in America, we just get, we can quit. But what if when people got married, the only way to get out of it is if we killed you? We just lost all the air in the room. You think we might work a little harder at making it a joyful marriage? Sure, we know we're stuck. Some of you are so slow. I don't know how you, well, you don't get to church on time. Some people don't, but anyway. I don't know how you get to church on time. Well, you don't, some. Some do. Most on Wednesday night do, and those on Wednesday night do. They have an excuse a lot of times because they work. But let me just say this to you. You have a great opportunity for me to preach on getting to church on time. Hallelujah. Now, let me just say this to you. See, if we just learn this one simple truth tonight, we don't get anything else, that if we stick with it, God will always cause us to have victory. He will always end up seeing us get there. There may have to be some changes in us along the way, some changes in some things along the way, but He'll get it done. He will get it done. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Did you get something tonight out of this? It's a little different, you know, a little exhortation, maybe not so much teaching or preaching, just exhorting. But, you know, sometimes we need that. We need to just be exhorted to, it's not like things we don't know, you know, or just deep revelation, but we need to be exhorted just to stick with it. Don't quit. Sometimes people are on the verge of quitting and they're about ready to receive their miracle. And a lot of times, I think that's the way it is because the devil hits the hardest when he sees you about ready to break through. Try to get you to stop, try to get you to give up. But you got to just stay with it. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word tonight. That's a good lesson for Wednesday night. Amen. That's a good lesson for Sunday morning. Amen. You know, just to learn, we got victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God will see you through. Hallelujah. Praise God for His Word. Father, tonight we thank You. If there's anybody here tonight that was thinking about quitting. And I don't necessarily mean quitting the Lord, but you're thinking about quitting, you know, in an area in your life, you're thinking about giving up. Maybe it's a healing you're believing for or something else. Could be a lot of different things. I want to just encourage you tonight, don't quit. Don't quit. And if you have let go of it, if you've let go of your faith, get back on it. Pick it back up. Start over again. Glory to God. You already know some things. You've already come so far. Start over again. Now, Father, I pray for anybody tonight that spirit of I quit's got off on them. I rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. We are not of those that turn back unto destruction, but we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not people that turn back. We're not quitters. We don't give up.
We stick with it. Hallelujah. And I speak that over you in Jesus' name. Now, if you were thinking about quitting, I'm going to tell you tonight, don't quit. Hallelujah. Say it. Don't quit. Say it again. Don't quit. I know it's two simple words, but they're powerful. Don't quit. Amen. Now, Father, as we go tonight, I release us with the protection of the angels in Jesus' name. Thank you. We have a divine inheritance of divine wisdom, divine anointing, divine favor, divine guidance, divine power, divine protection, divine prosperity. And we thank you for your divine goodness on us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.